God's grace, mercy, and peace is yours through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, last Sunday's gospel lesson we heard the Father invite the whole world to Christ, who says, come to the supper, come and hear the gospel. It's for everyone. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. But they all began to make excuses. To one, he bought a piece of land. Another, he bought a cow. And the third, he didn't even ask to be excused. He just thought his wedding was more important than the gospel. So the Father sends his friends out into the street and says, call them all in so that my house may be full. And then today, we have this marvelous gospel where Jesus finds himself in the midst of the likes of Rich and Me, tax collectors and sinners. Not sure who's which at this point, but we'll leave that for debate later on. And the Pharisees were appalled at this. And then they said these marvelous words that are music to our ears, but it shows how the world views God. This fellow, because it's derogative, they're pointing to Jesus. This fellow receives sinners and eats with them. And the church cries out, Alleluia! Really? It's an unknown thing in the world. And so this business of eating with God. You know, in Bible class, we mentioned back during the times of the Acts of the Apostles, the Greek gods, the Greek-Roman world had pretty much given up on their gods because they wouldn't answer nor take care of them. And they said, they didn't give up on us, but we gave up on them. And so the time was ripe for the gospel to go out through the church, through men and women, children, to the world, to let them know that there is a God, not many gods, but only one. And he's the God who sent his Son into the world, who died under Pontius Pilate, historical fact. And the Father raised him and then received him home and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can eat, in essence, with me and the Father and all the redeemed after the resurrection. This is a very curious saying because the world doesn't know this. The gods that they have, the heathen, pagans, those that do not yet know Christ, they think God just is out there mad and demanding, so they have their own sacrifice system. It's very strange in their ears when they hear things like we just sang. When we tell the story that God invites sinners like you and me into his presence, and then there's this intimate, very personal, in-house, to eat with God. It's unheard of. But when you find yourself in the gospel, just about everything in the Bible is unheard of. But just for a minute, let's pull aside just this idea of eating with someone or being with someone. For all of you, the first time you ate with someone was at the breast of your mother. Very intimate, nourishing, fulfilling. And as you grew up, you experienced this relationship of someone feeding you. And then a few more years, you realized you were together at a table, most of us, with a family, eating, talking, laughing, And then we were able to feed ourselves. But still, as we grew up in years, we would find ourselves together at table with family. Some of you may not have experienced that, but you have experienced other forms of family and table fellowship and manners and just the satisfaction of pushing back your chair. And for us guys, it would... Oh, my wife just looked over real fast. We would give a hearty burp, sometimes when it was appropriate, sometimes not. And for the rest, though, it was that, why isn't it any fun to be by yourself, to eat by yourself? Some of you have been on the road, or traveling, or working. That only lasts so much. What is it about being together and eating? The reason I ask that question is because God's people in the Old Testament and in the New, and then Christ Himself, invites us to be with Him, to have fellowship and to eat with Him. Christ was God in the flesh. That God would come and want to be with us and dine with us, have supper with us. These are very strange things. But you begin to see why they're strange is because we've alienated ourselves by virtue of our sin, culture, lifestyles, mannerisms from God. And when we hear the story that He's holy and I'm not, we turn tail and run, just as our first parents did, and hide behind a rock, ashamed, embarrassed, unworthy. And the list goes on. It's no fun being by ourselves. So God searches and comes to be with us. And we've experienced that in very earthy ways in our lives. When families gather together at celebrations or festivals, just as we just had at 4th of July. And when we find ourselves alone and not invited, or at those gatherings, there's a sense, a little sense of, I miss that. I want to be there. And yet then when we do get together, sometimes we find ourselves at odds with those that we're with. And there's some arguing, and we don't have the same interests, and conversations are boring, or this one talks too much, or they're different from me, or can we just hurry it up and, oh, they're here. And the tendency then is to draw back from family and at the table and turn away again to be with ourselves. The reason I bring this up is, why does Jesus in this section avail Himself to be present with and to eat with the likes of us? And do you know, this section right here in chapter 15 of Luke, of all the places in the Bible, the world can probably tell you how the Lord's Prayer goes, although they'll probably try to change that during our lifetime too. Or, and they'll be able to mention some things about Psalm 23, about God being shepherd-like to us and so forth. But probably the third part is Luke 15. Because we've all lost something and found it. There's three stories here. One, the lost sheep. Two, the lost coin. And then outside of the next reading is the lost son. And when they're brought back, there's great rejoicing. You just look at the earthly things about that. How often have you left your keys here, or you lost your wallet, or your glasses, and there's that heart-stopping moment. And when it's found, there's great joy. Yeah. A sheep, though, it's just an animal. An ancient coin, or it's just a coin. And it's almost this idea of progression from the lesser to the greater. And by the time you get to the son, it's not just a son. And when we think of the Father's Son coming into this world, full of the lost, full of the dirty, full of the running away, full of the individual, full of the, I don't want to be not only with you, but I don't really want to be in God's presence for a host of reasons. It's very comforting for us to hear the Father say, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and he loves you so much that he won't put up with you being lost at all by yourself." No, God places the solitary into family, and he calls them to himself, not to one another, not yet, but to himself. And what's he do then? He comforts them. He says, "What was dead is alive. What was lost is found. Come. Let me put the ring and the robe on you, and we're going to have a barbecue, a party." And there's great rejoicing in that. Wherever the lost are found, wherever the dead are made alive, wherever once I had no faith but now I do, those people find themselves not going back in their own little corners to their own little worlds. Not yet. But they find themselves in the presence of our Father's house, where the same Savior for all of you, the same Creator, the same Shepherd, the same God and Father of us all, who washed you all, cleaned you all, also wants to feed you all. Not with different words and different saviors, but with the same gospel that applies to each of you, sometimes very differently. So that I begin to learn this routine of being in the presence of my Father here on earth, because when we leave here, that's the picture in heaven in Revelation. God's people are still all gathered together in one place before the Shepherd and the Father. And so we begin to learn a little bit of this uncomfortableness now of not being so much in the world and being united to a church family and a Father, and being used to having now this table fellowship with God. Jesus calls his word the gospel. And he says, whoever eats this word will live forever. He calls it bread, because we have this built-in mechanism that we get hungry, and then it needs to be, you need to feed the beast, and you need to slake the thirst. And since Christ was present at creation, he picks up on these needy things and then shows himself how he's the one that satisfies the soul's thirst and desire. And he becomes then that food. It's no accident that he ties in the Lord's Supper for his children and says even things like, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst." Not to hurry and get out of church, not to hurry up and end Sunday, but as I've heard many of you say, like the Emmaus disciples after Easter, "Lord, stay with us. Can we just stay here a little longer?" It's a foretaste, being in our Father's house as his children, as he invites his sheep, sinners like us, forgiven, to eat with him, to dine with him. It's not a custom that we invented. It's a habit that God has gifted the world. So when we pray, as our Lord teaches, give us this day our daily bread, we are remembering that all of these things are God's gifts to his children. And he's not stingy. And everything good he's given for us to enjoy. And let none of us call those things unclean, but to receive with gratitude these gifts from our Father's hand, who opens it and satisfies the desire of every living thing, including you and me. And with simple, childlike faith, we give thanks for your consoling supper, Lord, and grant this a blessed comfort to me as I live and even as I die, until the shepherd's voice calls us from our grave and we find ourselves at the great banquet table in heaven, where again Jesus will be serving us. A foretaste of things to come, to be sure. So, all the Pharisees and scribes murmured and says, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You better believe it. Thanks be to God for Jesus' sake. Amen. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep you with Christ until the day of his coming. Amen.